Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the Silsila Treasures of Wisdom. And we hope that you and your families are in the best of health and are keeping well, inshallah. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Well, dear viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, we have a very beautiful topic of discussion today, and that is the profound wisdom of Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And to discuss this beautiful topic with me, I have in studio none other than Mawlana Muhammad Tabriz Nuri hafidhahullahu ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you keeping, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal. How is Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, mashallah. And we do have a very beautiful topic. That is the profound wisdom of Sayyidina Luqman Hakim, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in this, you know, it's so beautiful, Mawlana Sahib, because Sayyidina Luqman Hakim, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we will be discussing, you know, who he was. Inshallah, today this will be clarified as well, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Also, together with that, he gave a lot of advices to his beloved son. And these advices, they hold so much of lessons for each and every one of us to benefit from, so that, you know, we can benefit and better our own selves, better our lives, and better the lives of those around us as well. But before we actually dive into our topic of discussion, Mawlana Sahib, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, dear viewers of Madani channel, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned very beautifully that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. Let us all collectively, filled with love, recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, this topic, right, it's a very important one. And many people out there always, you know, ask themselves or tell themselves that I want wisdom. I wish I could have wisdom. How can I attain wisdom? Where can I get wisdom from? All of these things run through a person's mind. And at times one may think that maybe my experiences in life, they would give me wisdom. Or maybe my intellect, the intellect that I have, that would give me wisdom. Or maybe my thought process, that will also give me wisdom. So people define wisdom with into many, many things. They give their own definition of what wisdom is. Like, obviously, if someone is going through experience, someone who's 20 years old has maybe 15 years of experience. Someone who's 30 has that much of experience, right? But that experience, Mawlana, can't be entirely said that this person has wisdom. Yes, he may have this just a partial or just a part of wisdom because of the experience that he went through. But in reality, Masab, wisdom is such that it is bestowed upon an individual by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's mentioned also that, you know, no one can attain wisdom through their own personal efforts. So one who is tossing, toiling and working hard and going through the ups and downs of life, at the end of the day, you know, when he comes and say, oh, I'm a man of great wisdom because I went through this in life, I went through that in life. But wisdom is something that is bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon a person. And this is why, you know, when we want to, especially in this topic that we are discussing today, the profound wisdom of Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the advices that he gave to his son, it is so, so beautiful. And I feel that, you know, every parent out there should teach these advices to their children as well, because it will benefit them. Now, if we have to look, you know, go into the Quran and ask the Quran what it says about Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But before that, Munasa, before we actually dive into that, to clear the misunderstanding, right, I have a question. Was Sayyidina Luqman Hakim a prophet? Was he a wali?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ulama Ikram and majority of the scholars have mentioned that Sayyidina Luqman rahmatullahi ta'ala ali was a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, and not a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we say Luqman Hakim radiyallahu an.
Subhanallah.
Allah Kareem be pleased with him. And subhanallah, he is a great wali of Allah Azza wa Jal with great wisdom. So you spoke earlier about others going through experiences of life, masters of the topic. But people who go through various types of challenges of life, ups and downs, various seasons of life, they may not gain wisdom, but experience of life.
Something at least they'll gain from that.
It's experiences, and experiences itself actually helps a person to excel and to further continue moving and maneuvering in life. Actually, bad experiences of life gives you good lessons.
That's very true.
Yeah, you have some bad experiences of life and you've learned some good lessons.
Right.
And you're all moving with lessons in life, experiences of life. Some have 6-7 children, how they raise them, how they groom them, how they nurture their children, experience of life. Yep. As compared to the one who never have children. So then within that too, you have different types of situations that you face in life. However, coming back to the first question, Mawlana Sahib, yes, he radiallahu an is a wali and a great pious personality.
Subhanallah. Master, that was so beautifully explained, and I'm sure you know this has really cleared out the misunderstanding that Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was not a prophet but a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the Holy Quran, Master, the Quran teaches us and tells us that we have bestowed upon Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu wisdom, saying that be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one who is grateful, he is grateful to himself. And one who is not grateful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most praiseworthy. Now, here, Mawlana Sahib, you know, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it so beautifully to us that if anyone wants to attain wisdom or wants to go on to that path to attain wisdom, then where's the starting point for it? And the starting point here is in being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because what happens when a person becomes grateful to Allah? One is a person, when he shows thanks to Allah, then he is acknowledging the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. And that will make a person now ponder, you know, that will make a person realize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas a person who is ungrateful and denying the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala says that Allah ta'ala, he is most independent and he is most praiseworthy. So we see from this that shukr, gratitude, is such an important aspect in a believer's life. That without that, how does a person appreciate what they have in life? How does a person appreciate even on what they have in life? But how do they appreciate their own self? Because without shukr, if you have shukr, you would appreciate your own self. You would appreciate the hands I have. Allah Ta'ala bless me with these hands. Allah Ta'ala bless me with these body limbs that I can see. I got the power of hearing. I got the power of speech. We acknowledge all of this, and at the end we say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Ya Allah, I am thankful towards you. And
I would say on this note, not only just thanks for the hands. I mean, his heart ko dekhe na, look at the hands, for example. His heart ko dekhe. This movement is separate.
Allah. All joints.
All joints.
Right.
This is the wrist, the movement of this. Yani, aap aisa kar sakte hain. This is a great blessing, Mama. Hmm. There are lots of people who can't do this. Ye kar hi nahi sakte hain. To iske liye bhi hum shukr ada kare. As Nigrani Shura, Hafizahullah, Maulana Imran Attari, Hafizahullah, very beautifully in South Africa, he was explaining about shukr to some Islamic brothers, and he was saying that, ye jo haath hai, isme kitne joints hai? 1, 2, 3.
Right.
You can shake from here your shoulder, you can shake your arm, and you can shake
each one separately.
Each one separately. So, this entire hand, and then your leg, then your feet. I mean, you can do your feet separately, yes, you can do your knee. That's separate movement. That works individually. This works individually. Mm. Each joint and each section of your arm or your leg, they work differently, Maha Sahib. I mean, there are thousands of people out there who cannot do what you can do. So should we not be people who are appreciative and who make shukr to Allah? That's the Quran Sharif says, La in shakartum la azidannakum. So actually, increase in your wealth is linked to shukr.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Increase in your wealth, in your sustenance, in your luxuries, in your comfort, whatever you desire, you need. That what you need is linked and very well connected and established with shukr, with giving gratitude and thanks. Yani, jitna aap thanks denge, the more thanks you give to Allah, the more shukr you make to Allah, the more blessings and barakah you would see in your life. And the opposite is done when there's no shukr. Because when you do not make shukr, then you will see a decline and decrease in whatever you have got.
See less of less blessings in your risk, in your livelihood.
So there is a very close connection, very close connection, which many of us fail to understand. We don't mind sitting for one 10-hour meeting to fix a problem, to get more money, to increase your business. But we can't say this, chalo aaj hum sajda shukr ada karte hain. I mean, today if we got up, we deserve to make sajda shukr.
Yes.
I mean, Luqman Hakim Rahmatullah Ali also spoke about, you know, shukr in his wisdom, words of wisdom. He explained about shukr, how important shukr is. I have heard Nigrani Shura, Hafizahullah, say that Amir al-Sunnah, who is our leader, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. May Allah Kareem shower rain upon us and blessings upon this great personality. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He is so, we would say, alert, and he is so humbled, and together with that, he makes so much of shukr to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to the extent that if he got the khabar in the news that his son, who was out of town, has got, came back to town safely, instantly he goes into sajda.
Same time.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Azza wa Jalla, he is my son, and you returned him back with safety and security. Subhanallah. He's come back, he's returned safe and sound.
How beautiful is that mindset?
Yeah, that mindset.
Allah.
So, hum khana kha sakte hain, humko kahin jana ho, kahin se wapas lote hain. Sajda shukr, how long does it take to make sajda shukr? A sajda and prostration of gratitude. This is so important. Agar hum kisi se, agar hum aap khud apna jaiza lena shuru kar dein ki hum khud kab last sajda shukr kiye honge? When last have we made sajda, not for salah, but for sajda shukr itself. That, Ya Allah, you bestowed upon me this great ni'mah and bounty, and I thank you for this. So it's a different munasab, thanking with the tongue, thanking with your body limbs, allowing for your head to touch the ground in gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's a different feeling altogether. And you shall see the blessings of it. So if somebody became a father today, before you announce to the whole dunya, first Allah ke bargah mein sajda karo. You've got a job, maybe some, you were looking for an interview for very long, going for various other interviews, and finally it clicked. It happened, it worked. Excitement makes a person forget that the one who organized you the job is Allah Azza wa Jalla.
That overload of happiness is sometimes, you know, makes a person forget, forget that.
In the state of that happiness, don't forget your creator. Usi waqt aap sajda shukr karein. It's important that we do this. Many of our namaz, our salahs, acts in salah, like the sunnah of fajr, or the two raka'at of fajr, of dhuhr. Each salah and the units of each salah represent the remembrance of many anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. For example, on the ark, Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, subhanallah, his ark docked with safety and security after several months sailing on the water.
Right.
And then when he got out, they realized that the ark is safe, mashallah, those who embarked on the ark are all safe. When they embarked that, he may sajda shukr. He read two raka'at salah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So these things are very, very important. This was out of the subject, however. But
it's important,
shukr is very important. At every given step, we should always be grateful and thankful to our Creator who has given us this body limbs, which is free from, you know, defects and faults. They are functioning well. even in the old age, the man is 90 years old, he could have lost his hearing power, his seeing power, but he's seeing, he's walking as if the young guys are doing it.
Allah.
So he should be making more shukr to Allah Azza wa Jalla that you did not take away the listening power, the seeing power, the power of seeing, listening, speaking, you know. Right. These abilities can be taken by the one who has given it. That is why we recite, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, when a person dies. Because we have come from Allah and to Him alone we are to return.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, ma'asab. Well, dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is the importance of showing shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you have in your life, whether it's less, whether it's more, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whatever the circumstances may be, always show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by doing that, as Mawlana Sahib has mentioned, that by doing that, the Quran tells us that the more you display shukr, the more you are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to you. Subhanallah. And Mawlana Sahib, the first advice, right, that Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu gave towards his son was not to commit shirk. Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. That, oh my son, do not associate anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because indeed this shirk, this associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a major, major, major sin. And imagine, I mean, this alone tells us about the profound wisdom of Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala an. And let's put this right to into practicality in, into our life. When a child is grown up to an age of understanding, or even when the child is little, what are parents out there nowadays teaching their child? What are the first things that parents nowadays are teaching their child? Maybe a father is telling the child, say Abba, say Abba, say Baba. Maybe the mother is saying, say Mama. All of these, obviously it's coming out of love, right? But here, Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is teaching us something else of what to teach first to our children. And that is that we should teach them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no partners. Do not ascribe any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only one. Now, Masab, how important is this, right, that we give this upbringing, we give this tarbiyah to our children by teaching them this? And what advice, Masab, can we give to parents out there? Of course, they have to firstly educate themselves, know about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they have this, then they can now teach their children that shirk is a very major, major sin. So imagine how beautiful it would be if, you know, we teach our children these most important fundamental beliefs in Islam.
It starts from here. Ki insaan jab paida hota hai, to agar che mamma, abba, ye kaha jata hai, ki pehle bolo, right? Kaha jata hai ki the mother will try for the baby to say her name, first, father will try right? first. Lekin, usse bhi pehle chale jaye. So Islam wo mazhab hai. Islam is that beautiful religion ki paida hote hi ke saath sabse pehle, the first thing, if the child ever hears anything, it is the name of Allah, Adhan.
Subhanallah.
That was as a reminder, to remind us. Yani paida hote ke saath hame remind kiya gaya ki tumhara khaliq Allah hai.
Allah, Allah.
Your khaliq, your creator is only Allah Azza wa Jal. Adhan dene ke baad iqama diya jata hai. Iqamat is given also to remind you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Subhanallah.
So now that the child starts to grow and starts to maintain, he's being nourished, of course, he's growing up. So then after reminding the child of Allah being his creator, then of course, Mawlana Sahib, love for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are instilled in our children.
Should be the first.
Should be the first, Mawlana. Right. Should be the first. Importance for Islam, importance for Quran, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah and Rasul, and the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are valuable things which our children go Or they gain, but only when they're 7-8 years old. When they go to the madrasa, 5 saal ki umar ya madrasa jayenge, to madrasa mein aapka ya ustad batayenge ki haan.
Yes, this should be taught at home.
Zahir se baat hai, it is obvious that this should be learned from the first cradle, the first madrasa, which is the lap of a mother.
Hmm.
The mother is supposed to teach her child that these are the things you're supposed to know. Keep instilling it. Ki Allah is one. Huzuri Pak is his final and last beloved messenger. Yani taki he understands that there can never be no other messenger after this from that little age.
Right.
If you're going to leave him to learn this when he's 12, 13 years old in the madrasa,
that is a big problem.
A big problem. The 15th of Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam.
Ji.
Whose du'as aren't answered in such holy nights? Allah's mercy is casted on the sky above the earth that calls out, if there anyone to ask us, you'll be granted forgiveness, you'll be granted wealth, you'll be granted honor, you'll be granted whatnot, except for the person who's a soothsayer. The person who commits shirk and haram.
Allah.
That way.
Akbar.
A musician, a person who disrespects his parents.
Allah.
So,
Allah.
Shirk is on number one.
Right.
On number one list, that anyone who commits shirk is a grave sin. So, let's do this for our children because safety of iman is most important.
Yes.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqatihi. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ
Subhan.
So, we are here reminded that you should not die but as a Muslim. If the iman is weakened, it is weaker than it is expected that at the time of death, such a person can exit from this planet and world without iman.
Allahu Akbar.
Because why shaitan is after that person? Protect your iman. Do not compromise with your iman. Don't sell your iman. Don't go and exchange your iman for anything in the dunya. You know, for love. Don't exchange your iman. Don't compromise your iman for love, for money, for wealth, for dollars and pounds, whatever it may be.
Allah.
Protect this wealth and treasure, because through the help of this wealth and through Allah's mercy, you will enter Jannah.
And this is the greatest wealth a believer can have.
I mean, this wealth will earn you Jannah, Mullah. As we're saying, the greatest wealth. I mean, what can make you go into Jannah? That one condition that you left this world with iman.
Allah.
Now, our problem is that because we have Muslim names and we're born in Muslim family, so we take this for granted. Somebody's name is Imran, somebody's name is Yaqub bhai, somebody's name is Salim bhai, somebody's name is this bhai, that bhai. So, Musliman naam hai. Sunte ke, aray, ye toh Musliman hai. So it means there's no advice for him. He's a Muslim name. He's born a Muslim. His grandfather was a Muslim and alim. So it means he doesn't have to take any precautions. Ye baat nahi hai, Mulana. Each and every person has to protect his iman, and shaitan is after each and every person.
Jazakallah, Mulana. And I think this is very important for, especially the viewers of Madani Channel, for those who are parents out there, for them to give this upbringing towards their children as well. And that is why the viewers of Madani Channel, the upbringing, they say that the first university of a child is in the lap of the mother. That's where the tarbiyah needs to start from. And once we get that straight, once we accomplish that, then inshallah we can hope for a much more brighter future in our society if all of us have to put in this effort, for those who are parents, giving the proper tarbiyah and upbringing to their children. And this was one of the advices of Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu to his beloved son, and the name of his son was An'am. This was the name of Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu's son, An'am. Well, so you know what's really, really interesting is that Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was actually blessed with wisdom by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst he was sleeping. In his sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with wisdom. And that is why these advices, they are so, so important, right? So we covered maybe one or two of his advices that he gave towards his son. The next advice that he gave to his son, it is so, so beautiful and fascinating. And that he told his son that, oh my son, أقم الصلاة, keep salah established, and command that which is good, forbid that which is evil. And he said to his son, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ, and be patient upon the calamity that befalls upon
you.
Now, in this beautiful advice that he gives towards his son, Masa, we see that first it started off with telling his son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Do not ascribe any partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, we come to this year where he's telling his son that keep salah established. So once the belief, once Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu taught his son about aqa'id, about belief, telling him that you may go perform salah, you may go give charity, you may go do whatever good. But if the iman is not there, if the belief is not right, then to what point is all of this going to help you? It won't help you at all. So if the belief system is correct, everything else will be correct, inshallah. Now this advice, Muhasab, he says, keep salah established. And how true is this? How beautiful is this? That through salah, a person attains success. Through salah, a person attains victory. Through salah, a person's difficulties are removed. I mean, our pious predecessors, whenever there was a difficulty, the first thing they would do is go and perform 2 rakat nafil. On the expedition of Badr, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? It was a tough time. It was a tough scenario. I mean, you have 313 sahaba companions, men, 313 men with you in front of 1,000. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first resorted towards salah. And the end result, we all know, they became victorious. So salah is the key to every success. That was one more. The second that he mentioned was commanding good and forbidding evil. Now, if we have to look in our times, right, we see this is not mostly done with everyone. We see this is very seldom, wherein a person may see someone doing wrong, but they will just leave the person and say, you know, that's none of my business. That's his life. This is my life. I'm walking my way. That person must walk his way. Whatever he's doing, how can I interfere? So with these kind of mentalities now, so how does a person develop this mindset that even if something is going wrong, I need to do something about it? How does a person, you know, in today's time, enjoy good and forbid evil?
MashaAllah, very good question, Maha Sahib. And this is the speciality of this ummah. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna 'anil munkar.
That alone should be a motivation for all of us.
That's about the Maulana, jab duniya mein kitne qoum aa chuke honge, how many previous nations came, we are the last nation. From all those nations, you are the best of all nations. Just imagine Allah given you so much of uruj, a lofty station, that you are most superior as compared to other nations because of what? Of course, the first thing is that we are the ummatis of that Nabi, Allah, 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 our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just becoming the ummati of him alone gives us the sharaf. But the speciality of this ummah is that this ummah commands good and forbids evil. This ummah helps people to do good and forbids people from committing evil. And this is the main functionality of this ummah. This is what we're supposed to do. Advise good, command good, make people do the good. And when you see evil, stop it with your hand, with your tongue, or at least think of it in your heart that what's happening is wrong.
Like nowadays, if someone has to see someone say backbiting, or say, for example, you see a child disobeying their parents, right? And you go to the child, you explain to the child, and children, well, some children these days, illa mashallah, they have this inner strength in them that when you tell them something, they would come back at you with 10 different things. And they would think that, you are not my father, who are you to tell me this? And this is the kind of mentality that some children have nowadays, not only children, with adults as well. You know, it can be like, who are you to tell me? You are nobody to me. Why are you interfering in my problems? So in community, in our society, this is the issue that we are facing. And if we have to implement this, right, that enjoining good and forbidding evil, how much better everyone's life would be. Wherein, when someone comes to correct us, telling us something which is good, and we don't take offense to that, rather we take it as, you know, a way to better ourselves, a way to better the lives of those around us, how much better it would be. And that's why Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave this beautiful advice to his son that command good and forbid evil. And most of you have mentioned a very beautiful thing, and I think, you know, that is the solution. And that is, you know, when you see something good, that at least stop it with your hands if you have the power to. Otherwise, stop it with your tongue if you have the power to. Otherwise, at least feel bad of it in your heart. Yeah. And if we this, I'm sure that our communities, even our families would be living such a much more peaceful life with this
peaceful, beautiful prosperous advice. And all
yes,
of that.
100% less stress, less depression, all because of acting upon commanding good and forbidding evil. That was, you know, the second advice from this whole entire piece that he gave towards his son.
Sure.
And after that, he says to his son, to his beloved son, that be patient upon the calamity that befalls upon you. And nowadays we see how, you know, when a problem overcomes a person, then the person is quick to start complaining. Quick to say, why did it have to happen this way? Quick to say, why me? Why did it have to happen to me? And at that point, the whole thawab, the whole reward of showing patience is gone at that time. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that innama sabru 'inda sadamatil ula, that patience is at the first strike of a calamity. So as soon as a person got afflicted with a calamity, at that very moment a person has to have patient. If at that very moment the person started complaining, and then thereafter he said, okay, now I will be patient. Now the whole reward is gone. The whole reward is lost. And to understand this, we have to look at this beautiful incident of Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which it tells us, this entire incident actually explains to us how being patient upon a calamity helps you, and it is actually a blessing for you and not a burden. So one day what happened, Masab, is that Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with his son, they went on a particular journey. They mounted on their mules and they were traveling. They had with them food, they had with them water supplies in their water bags, and they are traveling. Traveling day in, day out, throughout the night. The next day, the animals got tired, the food supply ran out, the water supply also ran out. Now they are left with nothing. There's no animals that they can ride on. So what they did that next morning, Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his son, they got off their mule and now they started walking barefoot towards their destination. So before they could mount on the mule, Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at a far distance where your eyes could last see the furthest point, he saw in that direction there was smoke coming. And when he saw that, he thought to himself that, okay, there's smoke coming at a certain place. Perhaps there are residents there as well. There are people there as well. So let's go towards this place and we will get some food, we will get some water, we'll get energized and sorted. So they mount, they start walking barefoot on this journey and they are heading now towards that destination. As they are walking, his son, a bone pierced through the foot of his son. And this caused him a lot of pain. So he sat down and he was in intense pain, crying. And his beloved father took out this bone from the feet of his son. And as he took it out, because the pain was so much, his son, he passed out unconscious. After some time, when his son woke up, he saw his father beside him, sitting next to him, and he's crying. And he asked him, Abba, why are you crying? What's making you cry? You're the one who told me to be patient upon a calamity. You're the one who told me that no matter what problems you come across in life, there's always goodness in it. Why are you crying? And then he says, the son says, that what goodness could there be in this? That our food is finished, our water is finished, our transportation, our mule, that mule is tired, can't do anything. Imagine if we were in a situation like this where our vehicles ran out of petrol, now we are stuck, we got nothing to eat, we got nothing to drink. Obviously, we'd end up getting anxiety, we'd get worried, we'd get stressed, who's going to come and help us? But And on top of that, we start complaining as well, right? But here, the son of Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is expressing himself that what goodness can come from all of this? Why are you crying, oh my father? So the father says that, I am crying because you are my son. I am your father. It's a fatherly feeling. It's my fatherly love for you that I saw you getting hurt. I saw the bone piercing through your feet. How can I not cry for you? You are my son. You are my child. I see you hurt. I feel hurt. That is why I cry. As for the matter of this issue that we are in, of this dilemma that we are in, Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I think you have been saved from a major calamity just because of this minor calamity. And as he said this, they started walking, and as soon as they started walking, they saw a man coming towards them, riding on a horse. And he came and he asked, are you Luqman? He says, yes, I am Luqman. Are you Hakim? He says, yes, I am Hakim, the wise. And then he, Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asks him, this person on the horse, that who are you? And he says that I am Jibreel alayhi salam. And then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam tells him,
Allahu Akbar,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to sink a particular city deep into the ground. And when I saw the two of you approaching and coming towards this city, I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stop you from entering the city. And that is why the bone pierced through your son's feet. And that is how you got halted up here, you got stopped here, and you got saved from that major calamity just because of one small minor calamity. Now, Masab, you know, this is so beautiful and inspiring that at times, you know, we feel we are going through the most in life. We feel that we are going through through a mountain road. Whereas the problem that comes, the difficulty that comes, it's actually preventing us from a major calamity in life. And that's why, you know, it's so important that we have patience, we have sabr upon a calamity, because this is the wisdom behind it, of us being patient. So, you know, with this regards, through the advices that he is giving towards his beloved son, how beneficial it is for us in our lives as well.
No, it is, Mawlana. The story itself has numerous lessons.
Ji.
And subhanAllah, you know, as you said, making shukr and having sabr over the smaller ones, there's some wisdom in it. I mean, the bone pierced his blessed feet, the feet of his son. And then he was told that, see now that you understand, Allah Kareem saved him and his son from a major calamity and replaced the major one with a smaller one. But if we start to show sabr and patience over smaller calamities, this will make us habitual to have sabr over major calamities as well. If a small problem such as the heat can get you irritated and you're sweating and you're getting miserable and you starting to use vulgarism and you become so miserable that then you don't care about who's next to you, who's around you, start using bad words and you're showing everyone you're frustrated.
Right.
This is not with any hurt now. Just pasina tapakara. Person is dripping.
Due to the heat.
And this gets to his brain. His brain starts to boil. And then you start doing funny things. You start saying things that you're not supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
It means if you could not have tolerance and sabr over this parishani of yours, then when the bigger one will come, such as the sun above the head, 1.25 miles above the head,
right,
and when the earth will be transformed into copper, then what patience is going to help a person? How do you observe patience? Smaller problems actually supposed to make a person become habitual and put him into the motion of how to have patience, Mawlana Sahib. So it's a great ni'mat and a great bounty to have sabr and patience. And subhanAllah, so many things we have learned today from the story of Hazrat Sayyidina Luqman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and his son. So I feel, Mawlana Sahib, that we should learn to become tolerant people. Unfortunately, the robot is not rare. You can't wait to shoot the robot. Impatience over there. Almost every place, right, in all walks of life, we show that we are impatient.
We want to rush.
There's a load shedding. The light is gone. Ghabraat ho jati hai. Light ka kyu gayi, kyu gayi, kyu gayi. Jaldi se, jaldi se. The person never get paid on time. That's also another problem.
something has happened, doctor said this wrong khabar, you can't wait to put the doctor down in his grave. People want to put him in the khabar itself if the operation didn't go well. So right. We always leave a room to show that we are impatient people.
And quick to complain as well.
Yeah. Person wasn't called to recite a kalam on the mic, it's also a problem. You never praise somebody, you never take his name to thank him on the podium that you donated this amount of money. Usko takleef ho jati. He can't have sabr over this, that, you know what? It's fine. Let me just have some sabr. He never did it deliberately. Have husne zan. Have a positive thought.
That'll avoid so many other problems.
Exactly. So it starts and stems from there, Mawlana Sahib. We're talking about wisdom itself and subhanallah, Mawlana. Allahu Akbar.
We can say that, you know, there is wisdom in patience.
There is wisdom. Wabashiri Sabirin, the Quran says, and give the glad tiding to the patient one.
Subhanallah.
What is the glad tiding? If you follow the ayat from the very beginning, but the verse after Wabashiri Sabirin, give the glad tiding to the Sabirin. But what type of sabr is asked of you? Alladina idha asabatum musibatun qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
Subhanallah.
What type of sabr is required from a person? This type of sabr, that when you're into some muslim parishani, musiba or parishani strikes you, hits you, then what you're going to say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So what is the reward for such people? Then the Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ.
SubhanAllah.
So Allah has all of these rewards prepared for a person. I mean, Allah Azza wa Jalla sends salawat upon such a person. Do you know what's written in the commentary of this verse, Mawlana Sahib? Allahu Akbar. Especially for the views of Madani Channel. Of course, Mawlana Sahib, mashallah, reads and makes mutala'ah.
Every day,
Allahu Akbar.
Every day is a learning day, alhamdulillah.
For all of us. But here, these are those people upon whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has, you know, showered guidance, showered rahmat and blessings. And Allah showers salawat upon any person, blessings upon any person, then he's not going to get misguided. He'll be guided. Allah's rahmat and Allah's mercy reaching a person because of his sabr and patience means hidayat, means never going astray. Subhanallah. So there's so many more other blessings that comes with sabr itself. But listen here, there's one important thing that we should listen to, I think, is that we're talking about wisdom today. Treating people well is half of its wisdom. Treating people well is half wisdom itself. Subhanallah.
Treating people well is half of wisdom.
Yeah. Treating people well is half of wisdom. And asking a good question is half of the knowledge.
Allah.
Asking a good question is half of knowledge.
Right.
And adopting a good strategy is half of your life. So treating people well is half wisdom. I mean, humko wisdom chahiye magar hame baat karne ka tareeqa nahi aata. You want wisdom but you don't know how to treat your brother well, to treat your neighbor well, to treat your friends and colleagues well.
Even the expressions also communicate.
Yeah, it's meant, if you treat others well with love, with affection, with muhabba, using the sunnah methodology, then this is half of wisdom by itself. Allahu Akbar. And asking a valid and a good question is half of knowledge, and using a good strategy is half of life. So whatever we have learned in today's program about wisdom, about hikmah, about humbleness, about forgiveness, about not associating partnership with Allah Azza wa Jalla, all these madani pool that you shared about sabr and patience itself, gratitude, I think many angles were touched. And at the end, we learned that, Mawlana Sahib, if I learned it and I don't know how to practice what I have learned today, then it makes me no better, Mawlana. Likewise, for the viewers of Madani Channel, if today we have understood something, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, let us go out there and make this practical. Let's start inshallah. To adopt these ideas into our lives to see a difference, Mawlana. And what is the difference that we want to see? That Allah loves us more and more and more. We want to please Allah Azza wa Jalla more and more. We have to try our level best to earn His pleasure. And the way you're going to earn it is to do for Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we should not forget the purpose of our existence. We have come here. It's like we have hands and nose and ears and mouth, but we don't know why Allah has given us. What is the wisdom behind these body organs? Ask yourself this question. Do you think you were created needlessly? Like, you know what? There was no purpose for you. Then ask yourself this question. What these hands and this mouth and this tongue? Were they only made to eat and taste different types of foods? Were the eyes only made to see sceneries? Were the ears only made to listen to people's stories? Why did Allah give us this type of body organs? What's the wisdom behind this? Then if you want to know the wisdom behind this, then don't go and become like a scientist now and go and investigate the Asman and then go investigate the stones. This is the creation. The ulama have said, "Man arafa nafsahu, faqad arafa rabbah." The one who had examined his nafs, introspection of the nafs, jisne apne nafs ko pehchan liya, usne Allah ko pehchan liya. So this is what the awliya and the kamilin mentioned, that we should study ourselves, inshallah, through which we will attain more and more wisdom, and then you reach through oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you earn His ma'rifah, His recognition, so on and so forth.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, subhanallah, jazakallah so much for all the Madani pearls that you have mentioned. We really, really appreciate it, Muasab. And also, at the same time, this was much beneficial for myself and for the viewers of Madani Channel. And keep this in mind, dear viewers of Madani Channel, whatever we have learned today, these are the precious advices of Sayyidina Luqman Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which he has told to his son. If we implement this, then inshallah, our lives, the lives of those around us, the lives of our children, they would also be fruitful, beneficial, and successful in this world as well as in the hereafter. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.